The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Minister for Finance Jack Chambers, Fianna Fáil TD, joins me. Now, Minister, you're very welcome to the programme and congratulations on your budget speech, your budget announcement made earlier today. Can you answer me this question? What in your mind is the point of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council?
Well, they play a very important role for government in that they provide that oversight and external advice to government on all fiscal matters. We've had input and engagement with them on wider public spending and taxation decisions. Obviously, we've set we had a fiscal rule which we set at 5% a number of years ago. We had to revise that upwards for budget 2025 at 6.9% because of the increased costs of providing services in our economy. And that's why the existing levels of service and capital requirements, which have already been committed to, that was taking up about 5% of our overall expenditure increase. And we've adjusted that to 1.9% this year. But I think they have a very important role in terms of oversight and input on from a fiscal perspective. And what we are doing on our wider macroeconomic
strategy. But you think they're wrong? When they say that we should have stuck with the 5%, you think they were wrong?
Look, I respect their input, but I think we have to take a balanced view on that, in that the cost of, we wouldn't have been able to make any decision on new policy measures if it wasn't for slightly adjusting from the 5% rule this year. And that's why we
breached the 5% rule last year and the year before as well.
Well, I think if you take the wider context, which I know your listeners will be aware of, we had a very serious issue with price rises in our economy, with energy price increases, and that's why we still have high prices in our economy following the impact of that, and cost of living is a challenge for many people, and that's why we're responding back to that in this budget with a cost of living package that supports families and workers and communities across our country, particularly through the winter period. Energy prices are still high, that's why we have an electricity credit. We've got many families who are seeing those increased costs, and I think a government has to take a balanced view when we're making the wider decisions. If you take some of the opposition, for example, they would have spent billions more than what we have set out. We've tried to be careful in the permanent expenditure decisions that we've taken, and that's why there's a 1.9% additionality to the 5%, which captured existing levels of service from a public expenditure perspective.
Just to be clear, I mean, when you said there's a 1.9% additionality to the 5%, what you're actually saying is you've breached your own rules by 1.9 percentage points. It's a 5% limit and you've said, nah, we're going to 6.9.
We've had to adjust that this year because of the cost of providing existing levels of services in our economy have increased.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. There's increased input costs, but the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council are conscious of that as well. I come back to my first question. I just wonder what the point of it is if you and other government ministers listen to their advice and then ignore it.
Well, there is a point to it, and that's why we obviously have set a rule of 5% in recent years, and there were circumstances where we had to adjust it, which I've set out in terms of energy prices and wider cost of living implications. And the geopolitical conflict in Europe and elsewhere has caused its own consequences in disrupting markets and prices in the European economy. But we will have to submit a medium-term fiscal plan to the European Commission in the next 2 weeks. That will involve a setting a new medium-term fiscal position, and we'll have that discussion within government on what our new rate of expenditure increase will be over the coming years. And we'll have to reflect, obviously, on recent years and what's possible for the future. We have a big capital requirements in our economy, which require investment in housing and water, in energy infrastructure, for example. And we'll have to have an honest engagement within government about how we can contain current expenditure in our economy, but significantly increase capital expenditure for the medium term if we want to meet the needs of Irish people and build the future productive capacity of our economy.
So we didn't get any detail on how the Apple tax is going to be spent, but you shared with us detail of how the $3 billion we got back from AIB is going to be spent, the Land Development Agency, Air Grid and Irish Water. Is that a preview of how the Apple tax money might be spent, that type of breakdown?
Well, I think it provides a basis of when the framework and the detail has been put together on the Apple tax. We obviously set out today four investment pillars for the Apple tax: housing, water, energy and transport being key investment priorities for government, making sure that each of the investment decisions drive future economic development and that there's a value for money as a central consideration as well. But today we were in a position with the IAB share sales to further capitalise Irish Water to get them to advance the connections to build further housing infrastructure, which they support in terms of water connections, and separately with the Land Development Agency to help them in their work in building thousands of more social and affordable homes. And I think the capital investment in those two entities will make a big difference in housing and water infrastructure.
Who's going to build all those homes?
Well, there's a wider consideration in terms of labour market capacity. We're at full employment, and that's why when we're making decisions on infrastructure and the wider debate that's happening on the Apple tax, we need to make sure that we target spending over a number of years so that there is the capacity in the economy to deliver the housing and infrastructure, and why there's a lot of work ongoing, for example, separately in the budget by the Department of Further and Higher Education on apprenticeships, for example. And we need to continue to build our labour force from a construction perspective.
But does the reality of those labour market constraints mean that a lot of today's announcements come with a little asterisk beside them, if not a good dollop of salt? Extra money to recruit Gardaí, extra money to recruit SNAs, extra money to expand health services and capacity in mental health services, which is all kind of staff reliant as well, and extra staff reliant, not entirely, but a lot of it extra staff reliant. Where are all these people going to come from?
Well, that is a challenge of having.
I'm not trying to be glib about it, but it's easy to say it's a challenge. Where are they going to come from? Where are we going to get extra guards, extra special needs assistants, extra teachers, extra nurses, extra doctors, extra people to work in the iPass system, extra builders to build all of these houses, when you acknowledge that we don't have all those extra people?
Well, we're a member of the European Union. We've got many people who come here and work here. Who if you look at the profile of our health system, we've got people who are coming from within Europe and elsewhere who make an enormous contribution to frontline health services, for example. Similarly, in other public services, we've got people joining our public service who mightn't have been born in Ireland, but thankfully have come here to work here and want to raise a family here. And actually, a lot of the people who've come here, and it's been maybe hasn't got enough debate or focus, people who come here and contribute to our economy and our society and to our workforce have come from different countries, and that has made an impact in providing for certain labour shortages in part of our economy. And that's something that will be a requirement to meet some of the areas that you've referenced there.
So you suspect that some of the money announced today for these recruitment campaigns will have to be run overseas?
I wouldn't say that. No, I mean, I think there's a lot of people. There's always huge demand, for example, in the recruitment campaigns for an Garda Síochána, and in education and in other parts. We obviously want to make sure that for Irish people whom have left Ireland.
But we've got all these capacity constraints in the labour market despite record numbers of people moving to this country.
We have in certain areas.
So how are we going to solve the problem of capacity constraints?
And that's by making sure we make sure Ireland is attractive for people to move and to live here. That's one element.
Well, it's quite obviously attractive. We have records of people moving here, and we still have those capacity constraints. So how do we solve the... If with records moving here, we still have capacity constraints, how do we solve the capacity constraints?
Well, there could be shifts in different, for example, areas of the economy where there might be the same level of growth as might have happened in the last two or three years where you could have labour market mobility in certain areas of the economy, and that's not unusual in different economies, for example. So separately, it's ensuring that making sure that Ireland is an attractive place to stay for young Irish people that are in college here, so that they take up any of the job opportunities that will be offered.
The reality is a lot of this is aspirational, isn't it?
Absolutely not. We want to make sure that the investment we're making in Irish Water, in the LDA, drives further delivery in terms of affordable homes. If you look where we've come from, over 20,000 being built a year. Dara O'Brien expects up to 40,000 homes to be built in 2024, and we've got more to do. And that's why capitalising key agencies of the state where there are barriers to development, I think, will unlock opportunity and further development progress for Ireland in the coming years, and the particular focus being on housing.
I see most of the kind of headlines so far today and indeed this morning in advance of the budget, we're describing it as a giveaway budget. Joe Lynham, my colleague, described it as a windfall budget, and I think Andrea Gilligan called it a baby budget. What adjective would you use to describe your budget?
A budget for the future.
That's not an adjective. Go on.
Well, that was my focus when I was designing it, was to make sure we put aside much of the windfall receipts into the Future Ireland Fund, into the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund, that we prioritise the AIB share sale receipts in key infrastructure requirements, and that we don't, you know, follow what many in the opposition would have us done and throw money at every problem when it came to the Apple windfall receipts, that we carefully plan that expenditure for the future. And that's our wider economic approach, is to make sure we're careful in terms of the windfall receipts that we are receiving, because we have to have that counter-cyclical buffer if things don't continue to grow.
How does cutting USE and kind of tweaking income tax bands just so they reflect kind of inflation and putting money through child welfare payments, child benefit payments into the pockets of very wealthy people, how does that future-proof the economy?
Well, when you take the wider income tax system, we have a lot of low and middle income earners who pay a significant amount of income tax and are rising wages in the economy.
We actually have a lot of low income workers who pay nothing, almost nothing. Let's acknowledge that as well. That makes us an outlier in Europe.
We have some, and you know, we have a very progressive income tax system, and I think, you know, what we've decided to do today is to adjust across the three areas. It's to make sure that low middle income earners, as their wages are rising, that they don't face, for example, they wouldn't slip into the higher rate of income tax, for example, and that they're not paying that extra amount of USE when they're working in our economy. And actually, you know, the income tax package has been progressive in that sense, and that people, an average worker, for example, when you take the electricity credit and the income tax reduction, they'll benefit to by at least €1,000.
The average Irish household is €80,000 on deposit in the banks. Now, that's not every house, but it's a lot of houses. So again, kind of another version of the same question, how does giving those people extra money in advance of Christmas through child benefit, how does that future-proof the economy?
Well, we've obviously made decisions specifically when it comes to this, when it's come to the cost of living package, to have targeted measures in certain areas, for example, the care support grant with disability allowance, the blind pension, and many other areas like fuel allowance. There are people, though, that just fall outside the thresholds and the bans when it comes to social protection measures, and child benefit is obviously a universal measure where we felt it was important to cushion those households who don't get supports, and I'm talking about the ones on the margin above the you know, the social protection system, that they get that support through the winter period.
And I appreciate there's no perfect system. And I think people listening will appreciate that. Like, that there's never going to be, and we shouldn't let kind of, you know, perfection be the enemy of the good. At the same time, would it not be better to have increased the child benefit for people lower in the socioeconomic spectrum and just not offered a double payment to people at the higher end?
We have a universal system of child benefit, and it provides, a bit like with the electricity credits, I think it's important to have a mix of targeted and universal measures when it came to the cost of living package. But we've got significant additional supports and lump sums that are targeted in terms of living alone allowance, the working family payment and the qualified child increment. So there are, obviously there's a wider argument on child benefit, which I know is often discussed, but it's a measure where we could make an intervention, particularly for those families that just fall outside thresholds. And there's a lot of people in Ireland who don't qualify for, say, certain social protection payments, but are still struggling. And that's why this is a budget that helps them through the winter period, supports them with the cost of living challenges that they have, and gives them a break from an income tax perspective when they're working hard and contributing every day.
We've heard different views when it comes to VAT and the hospitality sector in the show, some agreeing with your decision, the government got it right, others disagreeing. What do you say to those in the sector who are fighting that campaign to have it reduced back down to 9%?
I appreciate they've a difficult cost base presently, and what the context in which I had to make a decision was with a 1.4 billion euro tax package. I felt it was important with wage growth in the economy to provide an income tax package to respond back to that. The cost of doing VAT 9 is quite significant and would have undermined my ability to advance an income tax package as the government has done in previous years. We have obviously tried to introduce a new version of the ICOB scheme, which will help the retail and hospitality sector in particular. And I've also adjusted VAT exemption for the VAT exemption for goods and services, where it'll be now at 42,500 and 85,000. So I've just adjusted them upwards to give some break to small businesses. And I acknowledge there is a wider cost issue when it comes to not only retail and hospitality, but all SMEs in the Irish economy. And Minister Burke is going to be reviewing that so that we've more sustainability of costs. And that's something we want to progress.
Minister, congratulations again on your budget. Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.